hand, please. Actually, I've prepared this for a children's talk.
I've prepared it for a children's talk. And it's about refugees. Now, what's a refugee? A refugee is somebody who's had to leave where they live, their home, and look for somewhere safe and somewhere else to live. Somewhere with a roof over their head, perhaps, a nice warm bed, and so on. So some people have to leave their own houses and their own countries and now have nowhere to live. They are refugees. Some of us went, six people went out to see them and found that they are living in tents on a football ground at Dunkirk in France. Now, six people from the churches in Tewkesbury went to France to see if we could help. The entrance to the camp is between two rubbish skips, so it's no good wearing shoes that are no good because it's a bit mucky and smelly going between those. And that's the town football pitch at Dunkirk, where we found lots of people living in tents. And we met families who are living in sheds. And this is our group from Tewkesbury area, walking through, just trying to see where people are and where there's need and what's needed. We distributed some warm clothes that you had sent all the way from Tewkesbury just to say that we care. And the ladies stand to one side while the men see what you have sent them. There are lots of tents close together, and we were worried about candles and campfires. We then found and greeted family groups living very tightly together. You can see why we were worried about fires, and to cook on, they're using car wheels, which is a very good way of cooking. Three families live in this one tent, one family on that side, one in the middle, and one on the right, because it's very expensive to have a tent in this campsite. And that's the family living on the right of that tent with little children. And of course, we have nice warm beds, warm houses with comfortable beds, but that's where they're having to live. And they've got sheds and children. Because there is water and mud, the tents are on a pile of very uncomfortable clinker from the ironworks, and that's what's passing around. Has it going round?
It's been round.
It's been round? Oh, good. If you felt that, if we're camping, we usually try and find something nice and soft to lie on, grass and perhaps a nice bit of moss, but they're actually sleeping on top of that iron clinker from the local ironworks, just to keep out of the mud and the wet. We came across this lady who had a swollen finger. We thought it was broken. We used first aid from my car to bandage it up, two fingers together, but it turned out later that it was arthritis. She'd been peeling potatoes and onions in cold water. And we made friends. Before we went, we were warned by various people that we might get mugged, we might catch fleas or lice, or we might have things stolen off us. But everybody we met was very pleased to see us, wanted to talk English to us, and we made some good friends. And that's us with the high-vis jackets, or three of us anyway, from Tewkesbury. And then these ramshackle places they've put up to live in to protect themselves. And this family, the chap with the funny hat on, he's a grandfather, and he came over with his wife, and then he brought his two daughters, the husbands of the two daughters, and six children, and he told us that he paid £7,000 to get this far, and they're trapped because they can't get across the channel. They're just trapped there. They were told that they'd be taken to England, and they've got this far. So £7,000. And you saw that she was holding her phone. What she was showing us was a video, if you call it, selfie. She's a teacher, and that's her and her family in a boat crossing over the sea, all crammed together in a little boat. So we knew that they'd come. And this is Mustafa and Banar. She was not at all well. She had very bad stomach pains. And halfway through the day, a medical team turned up from Manchester. So I came and found them again and took her to the medical team and jumped the queue. But the doctor told me that she'd just strained her tummy muscles. This is Zita. Zita and her big sister and her mother come every day from Belgium. They drive to the local boulangerie and pick up some bread, which is given to them free. They go take their pots and pans to a local restaurant, who fill the pots and pans up, and then they come and feed the refugees every day. So that's Zita, and there's the pots and pans dishing out food to the men who haven't managed to get any food for themselves. You can just see on the back of that high-vis jacket, it says Tewkesbury Churches. So that's a witness. There's Zita and her mother giving out food. And her big sister got bread rolls. Then a medical team arrived. They'd driven down from Manchester. Dr. Silver with the arrow over Silver. And this is a paediatrician. You see the street pastor? He's a French street pastor. And somewhere there's a dentist. And they've given up their time, days off, to come down. That's the dentist chair. And that's them treating people. There's not a lot of privacy. But there was a very long queue. And then some five vans with 15 people turned up from Scotland, driven all the way from Scotland, non-stop, over the ferry, arrived fairly late in the afternoon and had to go back that night on the ferry. So they misjudged it badly, actually, but we helped them unload and get the queue there and handing out stuff as fast as we could. But they had a lot of shoes which people wanted, but they all wanted size 42 and 43, please. And as the evening got on, all the campfires started lighting, and of course they burn anything that's there, including plastic and all sorts of rubbish, and the air gets really, really bad. And that lady's covering her face. I was choking and I could smell it all night long on me. And there's Tewkesbury Churches helping another team that turned up to distribute from the back of a car. No school for the children. He kept turning up in my camera. And then there's more people arrive, and if you want to ask me later about the destroyed tents, I'll tell you about that. And there's the mud. They're not using the football pitch properly now. Probably burnt the goalposts. I don't know. There's been... One of the teams said about 600. I think there was more, 1,500, looking at the tents. There's several sites. This is just one. Now, when we went there, we took all sorts of woolen clothes and warm clothes and everything and brought a load back, I'm afraid, because it was 22 degrees when we were there. And you can see that there were six people in that tent, and they can't go in and sleep and keep stuff with them. So everything in the tent has to come outside and a tarpaulin put over the top. So they can't use wool at all because it gets too wet too quick. So we've got a load of wool that we've brought back, which is very unfortunate. And, you know, you don't know what to do for them, really. Move on. Now, what the French authorities have done is they've put up these porter cabin things right at the entrance to the camp, which is about 300 yards from the camp. And the one on the right's the lady, gents, and the one on the left is the ladies. And then they've done, from the lamppost there, one electricity wire going down under that gazebo. And the only contact people have with the outside world is their mobile phones. So they come and they queue up and pay for their mobile phones to be charged. There's only one cold standpipe to wash their clothes and dishes, so it's virtually impossible to wash their clothes. I was going with a box of shampoo and stuff to take it to the far corner where I'd found... the ladies tend not to come out the tents. They're afraid to come out the tents, I think, in case the tents get taken away. So they stay in the tents, and I was carrying shampoo, and he saw that I was carrying a whole load of shampoo we'd bought in a local supermarket. So he can't speak English, but he was saying he wanted some. He'd got hair to wash. The kids love to see you, and they try to talk English. They've been told they've got to talk English. As babies, and the doctor told me she treated one lady who was expecting, and she was worried about the baby. And quite often you find little boys carrying the dishes around. I think they wash the dishes. The teenage girl there in a polka dot, she spoke absolutely perfect English and acted as an interpreter. You'll probably recognise Nigel and Jackie, some of you, from Prowse Park Chapel. And that's, as it's getting dark, saying goodbye. And then we've realised that the team from Scotland hadn't unloaded everything they'd got, and our cars were about two-thirds empty. So we all drove round to the local supermarket car park, and so they could go off back to Scotland, unloaded what they'd got left into our cars, and absolutely crammed our cars again for the next day. And the last task of the day was we'd looked after the medical team, running around after them and putting up their tents and things, and then we transferred all their equipment back to the hotel they were staying at. And that's the medical team. That's our team on this side and the medical team there. The pharmacist organised it all. So now this is something I picked up when I got back. We'd seen this actual car with British number plates, and we'd also seen a BMW with British number plates, and we'd seen a Range Rover with British number plates. This is Emma Murphy, who's an ITN reporter, interviewing them on the 11th of August. This area where that car is now full up of tents. So that was the 11th of August. And there's the car again that we had seen it. These are traffickers. They're driving down to Italy and Greece, picking up people, making vast sums of money. They're British, they've got Midlands accents. And you can read this later if you like, but this is a report by Emma. And we'll move on to the next page. And then just a little thing I've added on the end is that refugees can come because their houses have been destroyed. This was somebody's bedroom, and they had to move out and had to live on a football pitch, in this country for 2.5 years, and were fed by the local people who fed them in the Jubilee Hall. And they had mummy, and then a boy of 9 and a boy of 3, and the boy of 9 was me. Thank you.